Yes.
Kind of like you're already ready for party.
No.
Like, what?
Yes.
What is that thing with the bird neck?
That's all just false advertising.
So you can look like you have a moose knuckle.
No.
That's false advertising. That's a lump of penis.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist, and I just said a big lump of penis.
She did.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal, blah, 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 and I cannot follow up.
Big lump of penis.
Okay, tonight I am drinking Firefly Ridge, which is from the central coast of California. It's a screw top. So, it's exactly what you would expect from a screw top.
So it's not terrible, but it's not amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's just okay. It's
That's how I feel about mine too.
Yeah, it's okay. Nothing to write home about.
I went to the store and I saw this pretty wine. It's pink. It's a dry rosé, and it says California Candy across the front, and it has that like silver shiny rainbowy whatever. So I thought it was going to be good. I put it in my cart and I was like, oh, there's no price on it. I'll just ask when I get to the register. Totally forgot, loaded my cart up on like the register and paid and left. And I was like, oh my God, I never put that back or even asked about it. So I found out later it was $22.
Hey!
So not crazy, but more than I would have spent. And it's a screw cap. I was like, are you kidding me? And it tastes like just what you'd expect from a screw cap.
Really?
Very
but you know what? Even kind of okay rosé is like a little bit more expensive for screw caps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like rosés. Yeah, rosés are typically screw caps. I feel like in my travels, the Target wine aisle. But the fact that it's like $22, that's a lot.
I thought it was going to be like really almost like champagne-y.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's kind of just.
Yeah, listen, if you're going to charge over $12 for wine, it better have a cork. Like, that's all.
If not
a cork, at least a good taste. Like, what?
Yeah.
I can look past the screw top if it tastes good. I am drinking, I don't know. Bueno paid my porch a little house call last night and dropped off some bread and a Barefoot Berry Rosé Spritzer. It's a little sweet, so I cut it with some orange juice, and it has turned into a rather refreshing little situation here.
Yay bueno! Yay bueno!
She brought it to our house for you to drink.
I know.
Yeah.
Guys, well, maybe I shouldn't say what I was doing last night. Let's just say...
No, it's not what, it's definitely not what you're thinking, Erin.
Let's just say the combination of like allergies and period.
Oh.
Not a great combo.
No.
That's
no,
not what I was thinking.
Right?
No, because
I'm stuck at home.
If you're not wearing a tampon and you have allergies and you start sneezing, you got Niagara Falls going on.
Even with one in, it felt like a champagne cork was gonna pop out at any moment.
Yeah, that too.
Jean, what are you drinking?
Oh, I am so excited, and here's why. Because of the pandemic, introduced to home wine delivery, and through the wine list, the company called the Wine List, I ordered 6 bottles of wine.
She's gonna be real excited when she hears about pizza delivery.
This is like an infomercial.
No, I have never had wine delivery before in my life. This is a brand new, I've gone down the rabbit hole here. And I'm on my second bottle.
Tonight.
And this is, no, second bottle this week. But yes, I did finish it all in one night. And first I want to say that the first wine that I drank from the wine list was a screw top Cabernet, and it was delicious. I will never poo-poo a screw top just for being a screw top after that. It was delicious. Oh,
don't judge a book by its cover, huh?
Don't judge a wine by its cover. But today, since about 5:30, and I'm on my last glass now, I've drank the whole bottle. I've been drinking a wine called Bay Shore, and it's a white wine blend, and it's from San Martin, California. And it is one of the wines that got delivered to me, and it is delicious. It is a corked one. It's a corked one, but it is so good. I love it. Very satisfied with my purchase so far.
Aaron, let me guess.
Take a wild shot.
Potatoes.
You're not wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm lame. I don't know. I had a really rough day today, so I'm gonna drink that, and I'm gonna have a great day. And I'm doing
I'm
drinking it with a sparkling LaCroix hibiscus flavor.
Hibiscus. Oh.
So I'll be honest with you. So so we have a pool right in our backyard, and it is when we first moved in, it was a lot of bushes around the pool. Like, so we have a cage over our pool, and it's very floridy.
A lot of bush.
No, not in this day and age.
No, I don't need that Amazon feel. I need,
you know, if this was the 70s, your bush would be okay.
Right, but this is not. I need to be able to see a clear path. I need a clean scape.
Right. You need a clear work area.
Exactly. And so we had all the bush removed. And so Gail's like, we got to plant a lot of shit in this area. And I'm like, well, maybe we should just leave the bush. You know, like, once you wax a bush, like, it stays gone for a while. Like, let's let it stay gone. Nope.
Okay.
Gail wants to plant shit. So she bought a bunch of different hibiscus. Like, she's got, like, 3 or 4 different colors now. She's got one that's got 3 different colors on it. It's called a tribiscus. Like, she's very into the old hibiscus. Yeah, so
modern.
I know. She's very much she's a modern lady that likes bush.
Bush.
So she is a conundrum.
She really is. I mean,
a modern lady who likes lots of bush.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not gonna happen here. But anyways, so in honor of Gail, I'm drinking hibiscus LaCroix. And it is delicious. It is so good.
We sure did take the scenic route on that one, huh?
Yeah.
took a long way around.
We got there. You know what? We got there. We arrived unscathed. We're fine.
We took a metaphor detour on that one.
Yeah, we sure did.
It's fine. Everything's good. Everybody's happy.
Happy.
So, we got your messages. To Tina, who sent us the question about secret societies, I'm not totally against talking about those because I listened to the podcast you sent us, and I'll be real honest, I fell down a rabbit hole. So I'm not against talking about that at some point. But we did get some requests to talk about Plandemic, the movie that was going around all of the really scientific sites that you can locate on. That you can locate on YouTube. So we are going to talk about it, even though I think everyone's talking about it right now. Mm-hmm. But we'll go first with first impressions.
I got into such a Facebook war yesterday over this stupid fucking thing because people were messaging it to me and posting it. And I see so many people. And I know they're not the kind of people that are super, like, politically savvy. They're people who just, you know, christiannews.com said that, you know, like, oh, such sweet people, but they just don't know any better. And I can't anymore with any of it at all. I just, it's so easily refuted. Like, besides that guy having, like, piercing blue eyes, all of it was just so ridiculous. Like, it's I can barely get the simplest tasks approved at work without like 80,000 layers of approval. And so these people really think this conglomerate of billionaires got together to release this virus so they could make money off of medication. Like, that's what people think. And this big argument in theory that, like, hydroxychloroquine is so cheap, but now this new medication that's coming out, Redesnir or whatever, is so expensive, like, it's part of the plot. No, that second one is a trial, so of course that medication is going to be expensive. Hydroxychloroquine gets used for all kinds of things, like lupus, and, I mean, it's so common. It just, every point in that, I was like, that's fucking bullshit. I can barely get the simplest things done. I wouldn't be able to hide anything. You, like, there's no way that this conspiracy can take place in a modern world.
It's just fucked up. In my mind, I feel like this is what happened. This is my take on it. I did not get through the whole movie. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I started watching it.
Part one that they released.
There's
more coming.
I'm going to be honest. I got like 8 minutes in and I was like, I just can't do it. I cannot. But my whole thought process on this whole thing is, so there was a lady that had a smart idea at one point in time, and then she decided to take her smart idea and build her own thoughts into it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of smart scientists in this world that have these great things that happen, these great discoveries that happen because of their brains and their capacity to think about these things. And then they decide to build their own ideals into it. They think, oh, I did this, so I'm going to build this into it because I was able to find this because of some discovery that I made. But I'm going to build my own thoughts and identity into this thing. And I think that's what happened at the end of the day. I really truly believe, like with her AIDS discoveries and I truly believe that's what happened. But this is what I think is so interesting is that there are a lot of people in this world that get cornered and arrested and things that the whole thing doesn't happen correctly. You know, they don't get their rights read. You know, these things happen, and I agree with it and I understand it, but I just have a hard time believing her at all because
so much of it is feeling.
Yes,
I feel this, so that makes it fact.
Exactly. It's like it's so many things where she's like, I know that this happened. Do you? Were you there? You don't really know. You're being crazy. You're nuts. I don't care. I'm not saying it could be a man or a woman saying this. And I just feel like a lot of what she said had no real base in like what actually transpired. And that's where it's like, and all of her claims seem to be this, like all these wild things that like have thus been like debunked, you know, like, oh, you're going to breathe the coronavirus in through your own mask.
Hey, your mask is going to make you sicker.
Right. Like, I just feel like a lot of what she said was a lot of hoo-ha.
So I have some thoughts on it. So when I first saw this kind of take Facebook by storm yesterday, I was kind of surprised by the people who were sharing it because this video seemed to capture the attention of both Republicans and liberals. And right. After having watched it, although I do not agree with it, and I agree with Stacey saying that so much of it is easily disproven, I understand why it caught on. It spoke to some people's like guttural reactions to things, mm-hmm. like take the flu vaccination for a reason. That right there is ripe for this type of conspiracy theory, because a flu vaccination is what, 68% effective usually? Like,
it's like 26.
Okay, yeah. You're still rolling the dice when you get the flu shot. So when you have those types of vaccines or shots or whatever, you're automatically kind of sowing the seeds for people to distrust in a lot of ways medical science and like what people are telling you that you have to get and yada, yada, yada. So I get that. What I don't understand, first of all, this video was very well produced. Like they did an exceptional job, which is one of the reasons that I think it makes it more believable.
It makes it look credible.
Right. Yeah. But there were a few red flags that I think will help people kind of notice when things like this come out, because this isn't the first one we'll see. And even if you're a raging liberal, you need to be aware of these things too, because liberals put out false videos as well, and perpetuating dangerous lies is not helpful to anyone. So some of the things I noticed were, number one, the Gish Gallop right out of the beginning. And Gish Gallop, if you're not familiar with it, it's a debate term, and it essentially means that you completely overwhelm your opponent with a shit ton of information right off the get-go that pays very little attention to whether or not it's true, or if it matters, or if it can scientifically be proven. You just overwhelm them with facts, so you give off the impression that you know what you're talking about, because right off the bat, you're just like, blah, 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 spewing information at them. Number two, the doctor went on and on about her bio the first 10 minutes, and that's not, like, unusual, because we're very used to seeing people with, like, all their accolades attached to them when they're introduced, but hers weren't cited. It wasn't like you couldn't go to an you couldn't fact check it. There was no way you could go back and be like, okay, well, according to the American, you know, Science Journal, or American Journal of Scientists, I was noted here, here, and here. There was nothing that you could cite. The other issue I had was even the media clips that they were showing, they were blurring out the emblems, which to me is another reason you can't fact check where these things came from. That could have easily been a dramatization that they made to look like something that actually happened. And I am not saying that documentaries do not use dramatizations, because they do. The difference is you clearly indicate that you are reenacting something that happened instead of leading people to believe that this is what actually took place. When they had speakers up there, they didn't include a place and time or the person's credentials, which just because you throw someone in scrubs and in front of a camera does not make them a doctor any more than it makes me a horse. Like
you, I've gone to numerous Halloween parties as a nurse.
Right. These are just well, kind of the same key things I'm telling people. Watch for these things to know if something's legitimate or not. Right.
Because there was that other video that floated around too with those two doctors that were touting themselves as ER doctors or whatever. No, they run a for-profit urgent care. Different thing.
My other issue was this entire video is like directed at, and this also speaks to her validity besides all of the legal. And you know what? I don't know if she was treated unfairly in those legal cases. I don't know. I haven't seen the court documents. I'm not her lawyer. All we know is her version of it. And like, so take that kind of with a grain of salt as well. But she uses a train of doctors to come in and say, don't believe doctors, which is kind of hard with absolutely no citation and no reference points if I wanted to go back and fact check those things to be able to do so. And that kind of stuff is fucking infuriating to me, because I don't want to hear just your side. I want to be able to go back and look and see where this information came from and see if, you know, is there more to the story than the 30-second clip you got?
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like just they just jumped onto the anti-vax, like, train and like choo-choo.
Right.
Off they went to crazy town.
Here's where she really lost me. Like, the part that really, really just got under my skin was when she was pretty much saying, medical professionals, go ahead and forgive yourselves. You missed this one. When you have seen doctors who are going into work every day, literally risking their lives, not just doctors, but nurses and medical professionals and shit, the UPS driver and whoever, but going into work every day, who are then quarantining in a hotel room and have to speak to their children and their families on FaceTime so they don't infect them. And you have the audacity to say they're doing that to leverage money. And my very first like gut reaction to that was, how fucking dare you? Like, how dare you undermine the sacrifice that these people are making by putting out a video like this, that you're putting them in dangerous situations where they could be much worse than catch COVID. They could be shot on the spot because someone believes you're garbage and is now putting them in danger. And I just, those people are sacrificing their time and their health and their well-being away from their, you think they don't want to go home and see their kids? You think they don't want to go home and see their spouses? Like, I just, that part to me, I was like, I'm fucking done with you. Like, I can't with you anymore. But then she goes off on some kind of other things. She was real hard on Dr. Fauci, which, whatever. Dr. Fauci's a grown-up. He can defend himself. Like, that's not the part that bothered me. The part
he doesn't even really need to defend himself because his citable sources defend.
Well, not just that. He's not the only doctor out there saying, don't touch your fucking face. Don't do this. Right. Don't right. do that. Like, right. he's not the only one. So demean mm-hmm. him all you want. I don't really care. I don't know the guy. That is neither here nor there to me. Because there are a million other doctors lined up right behind him saying the exact same damn thing. What really kind of bothered me, though, was, like, so there was this legislation passed in the 1970s called Bayh-Dole. And it was passed. Purdue University went to their government official and said, hey, the government is mismanaging patents on healthcare. They're not doing it quick enough. The testing isn't fast enough. Why don't you turn some of this over to the universities who are already doing really good work on it? And if you need the patents back, let's say a pandemic happens, we'll give it back to the government for you to be able to utilize the sources. But let us do the research. There's thousands of universities in this country with some of the smartest people in the world. Let us do it. So they pass this legislation, and she's kind of accusing these scientists and these doctors of profiting off of it, which, did some of them get rich? I don't know, maybe.
Probably.
I don't know. But do you know a lot of, like, really rich medical researchers? Because I don't. So, like, I don't
They're
know.
Always begging for grants.
Yeah, like, right. I don't. Right. So I don't understand really. I do know that it's quantifiable, that it created a shit ton of jobs. It kickstarted the economy in some of these university areas. It kept some of the smartest people in the world attached to these universities for longer because they were able to get research grants, and they've done a lot of good work that they couldn't have otherwise done had it been kept in the hands of the government. So is that nefarious? I don't know. Not everything that, I mean, I guess everything looks like a nail when you're a hammer, but like, That's just how things were done. They had better sources to send it to. And I'm not trying to be super long-winded. I just, when they asked us to kind of take this apart, these were my issues with it. And then this whole idea that conspiracy theorists kind of latch onto, that like the government is evil, medical researchers are evil, all of these things, you have to remember they're people. So are a portion of them evil? Sure. A portion of them are. But are they all, like, I don't think so, because that's not how humanity works. And people are not undeniably evil just because they make you feel bad sometimes. Like, I make people feel bad with my decisions every day, and I'm not evil. It's just what they didn't want to hear. And people aren't always good because they've made you feel good. Like, there's a lot of gray area when it comes to people. And that kind of, like, thinking makes it really ripe for conspiracy theories. And it just, it really, really grinds my gears. And then the last thing that really, like, kind of fucked me up, like, I was like, this lady is off her rocker. Number one, well, there's actually two. One, the masks. Like, I don't know. We need to be really honest with ourselves about this whole COVID thing. We don't know everything. We don't. We don't know if we're overreacting right now. We don't know if we're underreacting right now. We have to be really honest about that to get any type of work done. And so we don't get married to, like, these spots and rooted in positions where we can't then make changes because it's become part of our identity.
Right.
But if wearing a mask, if you're asymptomatic, and you don't know if you are, obviously, but if it even protects 0.01% of the population, I'm okay.
Wear the fucking mask.
It. Like, I don't. I don't think that's a hill to die on, so that kind of bothered me when they talk about, like, anyway. And then this whole, like, I agree, going outdoors is helpful. Like, fresh air is good for you. Vitamin D is good for you. Being part of nature is good for you. But this idea that, like, the salt water is going to actually cleanse your soul, like, what kind of hippie bullshit is that? Like, yes, it may for meditation reasons and, like, your just own personal able to be relaxed, but don't start saying shit like this or people are going to be dipping their sit babies in salt water thinking it's going to cure them. Like, it's irresponsible in my head. And the last thing, just don't drink fucking bleach.
I have to say,
I'm done.
Jackie, I know you didn't mean to be long-winded, but during your long-windedness, when you said people aren't always good because they made you feel good, that really resonated with me on, like, numerous levels. But also, that...
people aren't always evil because they make you feel bad.
Right.
But maybe. I mean, no. I don't want to say the reverse of that is true yet, Jackie. Come on. But I'm just saying, like, one of the things that I really feel is important to remember is that I don't think anybody is out to get us at this point in time. I don't think that. I personally, Aaron Zach does not think that that is what's happening. But that does not necessarily mean that there aren't people out there that are trying to profit from this, that are trying to make us feel things in order to gain their, you know, monetary foothold, whatever the case may be. Like the fucking president who... You know, whatever.
Aaron, that's a subplot of Spellbound.
It really is. I mean, let's do it. Come on. I mean, my thing is this. I just truly feel that there is a moment. There's been a moment in our lives that I don't think any of us has really ever thought we would come across as like I never thought that I would have to wear a mask going to the grocery store. Let's be real. Like, I love apocalyptic and post-apocalyptic stories. That's like one of my things. That's one of the things I get off on. I fucking love that shit. That is my fucking genre.
Well,
of
now
things.
You're living it.
Yeah. And so like now I'm like, man, maybe I don't like it so much. But I truly believe that there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that don't necessarily happen because other people want them to happen. It's because it's just the way that it is right this second. And I think that this, Jackie, what you said, people aren't always good, but because they make you feel good. I think that this is the first notes I've ever taken in my entire
life. Which is funny because it's your job to take notes on this podcast.
Well, we record it, so I go back and listen, motherfucker.
No, when no, she's don't. Sober, really? Hypothetically.
Yeah, I mean, am I ever really sober right now? No. So, and one other on that. And I think that there's a really good thing to be said about the fact that like we've been led by someone who is a fucking idiot for a really long time, 3 years too long. And it's hard to, I think it's hard for the bulk of the American people to just say to themselves, this is probably not real, but it feels more real than what we're living because of the leadership we're in. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I were being led by a fucking numbskull for most of my life or even this a quarter of my life. And then all of a sudden someone came along and was like, what about this? And I was like, well, I don't really believe what I'm following. So maybe that could be true. I think that's a really, really what's going on right now. And it's not necessarily that this woman's thoughts and ideas really make sense. It's that they make more sense than following this numbskull who has no idea what the fuck he's fucking doing. You know, and it's like when you're not united and you don't have a united front, it's really easy to be swayed.
It's also,
you know what I mean?
When you're scared, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're scared too, yeah, it's really especially for people who have a lot of faith in whatever they have faith in. It's a lot easier to believe that, you know, some scary billionaires perpetrated this whole thing to make some money than it is to think that sometimes bad things happen and people die.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and because it's the same reason that people don't believe in climate change. Because we don't have anything historically to say this is how it went before, it's difficult for people to understand because that is the unknown and the unknown is scary. So it's easier to say, no, it's this. They're lying to us and trying to scare us than to just embrace the suck and lean into it and be like, the only way to get through this, I hate to tell everyone, is write the fuck through it. Like, that's the only way to get through it. So, but that is scary to people. What do you think, Jean, of plandemic?
Well, I think that it's simply an extension of all the right wing fucking tinfoil hat wearers that will take any situation.
I love how she sugarcoats things. It's
I know.
What do you mean? And you know, like, there's always going to be a right wing and a left wing, and anytime it seems like one wing is getting ahead in the race, the other wing is going to fucking develop something like plandemic, something that will stir up their side of the argument, that will, and again, it always comes down to fear. Fear is the most powerful motivator. It is the most powerful way to control people. That's why I fucking have no use for organized religion. Because, you know, like right from, you know, Emperor Constantine in 300 AD fucking realized that he could use Catholicism to help bolster his war effort. And, you know, ever since then, you know, it's just been, let's tap into human beings' deepest fears and let's fucking exploit them in whatever way we can for profit. We saw it literally play out with Bush and Cheney in 2003. We're seeing it play out now with all this, you know, all this right-wing bullshit, and this pandemic is just a perfect example of what happens when one side just lets their, you know, lets go of all rationality. let your freak flag fly. And instead of, you know, instead of just looking at it that, you know what, this is happening. It's happening. We've been in it. We're fucking in our second month of it. So if you haven't recognized right now that it is happening, then you are fucking delusional. Look to leaders who speak rationally. Look to leaders who quote science. And you know what? When people start trying to refute science, that's where you lose me. That's where I just check out and I'm done with the debate. I'm done with the argument. I'm just fucking walking away. Because if we can't trust science, then none of this other imaginary bullshit that you're making up holds any water whatsoever.
Right.
You're not gonna fucking tell me that all these fantastical, probably substance-induced stories that came about with whoever was writing the Bible. You're not gonna tell me that fucking shit is real, and then say that Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx. So you know, I.
So exciting. She's so
man.
In it. She did it. She's so in it. Her internet connection was like, I can't keep up.
I was on the edge of my seat. This is like a cliffhanger. Hello, Gene.
Big Gene.
Big Gene.
I can't handle it.
The other kind of fascinating thing is the people talking about how the founding fathers wouldn't have stood for any of this. And it's like, yes, the fuck they would have, because the colonies were a cesspool of virus and disease. Quarantine was such a part of normal everyday life. Like, they were consistently quarantined for yellow fever, smallpox, malaria. Like, it was such a, it was so much a part of it. No one would have ever even thought to take it to the Supreme Court. Well, it's just people who spout off their facts about American history, who have clearly never read anything about American history, minus the required reading in like eighth grade, are just, it's mind boggling to me. Entire town shut down for weeks at a time whenever there was like a malaria outbreak or a smallpox outbreak or anything, and they didn't even know what it was then. They had a term for it, but they didn't know a tenth of it, what we know now. But they knew they had to close because people would die. Like, we're just such an entitled, self-absorbed group of individuals. It's just crazy. It's absolutely fucking crazy to me. Stace, your take.
Everybody's covered everything. I thought it was, usually I like a good conspiracy theory. I like, you know, apocalypse books like Aaron. Like, I went down a rabbit hole of like FEMA coffins. If you guys are ever bored, look that up on YouTube. And this one was so dry and boring. I was like, why are people drinking the Kool-Aid over this one? This is like, really? It's so uninteresting. So I see the people that are like obsessed with it and like really believing it on Facebook. And I'm like, God, really, you guys? Like, can't we be like obsessed with something a little bit cooler?
Do they know about TikTok? Just... Have you told them? Right.
I don't know. I don't get the people that are drinking the Kool-Aid and the people that are complaining about masks, because, you know, Costco put out their thing where everybody has to have a mask on. Usually it's by county, right? Like, you guys, I know your grocery stores did it before ours, where you had to, masks were required. Costco put it out. that all their Costcos in every county, people have to wear masks. And so people are freaking out about, like, oh, we have to watch me ask for my membership money back. Watch me boycott Costco, all this stuff. And I'm like,
is it the same people who swear up and down they're capitalist and businesses should be able to make their own decisions?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The Venn diagram of that is like just a circle of.
I was just gonna say there's so much overlap that it's literally just a circle, right?
I've been in, like, in our county, I've been into some places where I walk in with my mask and I look around and nobody's wearing masks, not even the workers. And I'm like, okay, this is obviously a business that's very relaxed about it. I've also been in businesses, not that I'm leaving my house very often. This is like. I went into a clinic the other day and they checked my temperature at the door. They had a tape marker like 10 feet back from the desk. They had the plastic shields up for the cash register, and like they gave me a mask to put on because I thought, oh, we don't need to wear it in here. We're the only people in here. And they were like, no, you need to put this on right now. And I was like, oh my God, I am so sorry. And they like had to hand sanitize when we walked in, all this stuff. So I'm like, it's very interesting to see some people being so, you know, careful and other people's just being like, no, like we're just completely relaxed and don't care. And then all the people on Facebook that are like, I refuse to wear a mask. Like, fuck all these places that are making me wear it. I'm boycotting it. And I'm like, fine, don't go to Costco. Don't go to Raley's. Okay, go find somewhere else to go shopping. Yeah. If that's how you're going to be.
Practice. And it's up to them to, like, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Right. If they want to say no mask, no service, it's their business.
Right. So you're going to have to find somewhere else to shop. And I bet you in a week or two, they're going to be wearing masks so they can go to their favorite places. Just shut up about it already.
Yeah. I guess I don't understand why that, again, I don't understand a lot of hills people die on. I don't know why this is one, like...
Right.
And especially when there's just evidence out there of how many people are walking around with this that are asymptomatic and are unintentionally getting people sick. Like, they're not trying to infect anyone, but they are because they don't know that they have anything. And right. I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand when it's like, yeah, some people are affected by mosquitoes and some people aren't. Like,
right.
You can be right. asymptomatic example. Or symptomatic to it. Like, people... You like the people who are like, oh, I never get bit by mosquitoes. Yes, the fuck you do. You just don't have a reaction to it. You don't know you got bit by one. So I just, and then, oh my God, the other thing that really grinded my gears was when that whole thing came out about Medicaid and Medicare and paying more to hospitals and yada, yada, yada. Listen.
I feel like that's something we should talk about. Everybody's saying, like, the hospitals are getting more money to say that people died from coronavirus, and people are like up in arms about it, and I'm like, who cares? They need more money. And I get that it makes our numbers skewed, it makes it look like there's way more deaths or illnesses than there are, but at the same time I'm like, yeah, but the hospitals need that money so bad, like maybe we need to look away while they do that.
And it's presumed cases, so we do the same thing with the flu. We presume it's something, and then it takes a few days for turnaround to come back, and if it turns out that it wasn't that, they will change the number. Like, they can only assume so much. So when someone comes in who needs a ventilator, who can't breathe and is suffering, they presume COVID so that they can give them the amount of hospital care that they need and wait the 3 days. Some places it's taking 7 days to get these test results back. What are you supposed to tell that person? Come back in 7 days and if it turns out to be COVID, we'll go ahead and treat you? No, we're going to treat. And this whole thing with, well, my friend's brother's dog's best friend's groomer had cancer, and actually they're putting down that it died of COVID. Well, my grandmother suffered from COPD for 10 years and then finally died of pneumonia. Guess what they wrote on her death certificate? Pneumonia. Because that's what ultimately took her.
Like, right.
They're not going to list your medical history. Like, that has been going on forever. So
you can have comorbidities, but there's gonna be one cause of death.
Right. Like if I was suffering, if let's say I was on my last leg, I only had 2 days to live of some horrible fucking disease, leukemia, and I beg someone to give me an overdose of a morphine shot or whatever, and I die of the morphine shot, guess what they're gonna list that killed me?
Morphine.
Overdose of morphine. Because that is actually what killed me. So I don't understand why everyone's so upset about this. And it's like a non-story that they're trying to turn into a story,
absolutely,
which just makes people more untrusting of the medical professionals, and that's why they're doing it, because they're trying to prove their underlying point that, see, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And it all comes down to, honestly, all of this can boil down to, people want to go back to their lives the way they were. That's all this is about. People don't want to wear masks because that's not what they're used to. People want to be able to go to the movie theater. People want to be able to go shopping. People want to be able to go to their friend's wedding. People want to do all of these things, and these barriers are prohibiting them from doing such. So if they can say that they don't matter, they're not true, and they don't exist, they can go back to normal.
I also think that a lot of people have never really trusted the medical profession because of insurance.
And that's a
good point. Yeah, like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, fucking insurance. I could go get an aspirin at the fucking Walgreens for $1.09 for a bottle of 20, but I have to pay $75 for one at the doctor. You know, like, okay, yes, I agree. Insurance and everything that's gone on because of insurance is really fucking ridiculous. But that doesn't mean that the people that are making these diagnoses and that are coming to these terms of this is what is going on aren't knowledgeable. That's the problem. So I feel like it's this whole thing of, like, science, obviously, versus big business, which is insurance. And that's where it becomes like this gray area, because I'll never fucking forget when my stepfather, who I love more than anything, he said to me, if I ever get sick, you will find me in the backyard with a bullet in my head. And I was like, okay, that's a lot for me to deal with, considering that I just lost my fucking mom, but whatever. And he said it was because he didn't want to put us through everything the insurance would eventually put us through, because of what he was going to be going through if he was sick with cancer or yada, yada, yada. So I truly think that a lot of times people think, like, oh, that's not what's really wrong, because this is what could be wrong based on WebMD or da 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 da, because people don't want to
pay the additional Google.
Money. Right. They don't want to pay the additional money just to go figure out what is actually wrong with them because of insurance costs.
I just think it's hard, too, because we have all these keyboard warriors who want to, you know, berate everyone, and they forget that, like, these doctors are just people. They're just people trying to, they took an oath to help people.
Right.
And I think it's frustrating. Like you said, it you know, don't presume to speak on behalf of everyone. I just think this lady totally latched onto these anti-vaxxers because they already distrust medicine and they distrust doctors, unless they're doctors that are spewing shit that's not factual. And in that point, they're not good doctors. So I just think she glommed onto that and took advantage of the fact that people are scared.
Yeah,
but you know what? And for sure, and I don't, Aaron, I completely agree with your points, and I think that is why a lot of people react like that. But I also want to just grow up. Your feelings aren't science, and your feelings don't change science, and your feelings don't change facts. So it doesn't matter how you feel about, you can't wish something true. Like, that, it's just, I'm, you know, they call millennials, like, the fragile generation. We're the most sensitive, and we're the biggest babies, and we can't handle all this. Fuck you! It's not us. Like, we believe in science.
Yep.
We believe in science. Right. We believe in facts. Like, I just don't. Your feelings don't make something real.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Say it again, Jackie, for the people in the back.
Yeah, I believe a lot in unicorns.
Right. You know what? Though?
I just don't think they're real.
I follow this doctor who I love, Mama Dr. Jones. You should watch her. She's great. She's a OBGYN and she's phenomenal, but she has a shirt that says you don't get to be offended by science.
Right.
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 And if you are,
you know what?
It doesn't matter. Science doesn't care.
Right. It doesn't change science.
There are still cilia on the cell. It doesn't matter what the fuck you want.
My favorite Nancy Pelosi quote was, God gave us science. So fuck you. I asked to fuck you myself, but Nancy Pelosi said God gave us science. So all you fucking right-wing fucking evangelical assholes, God gave us science to deal with this horseshit world that we're forced to live in. Thank you very much.
And, like, who are you going to believe? People that have been studying viruses their entire lives, or your fucking grandma that has just now started recently, she figured out how to work Skype. Like, it's just not,
and is afraid of the colors.
Yeah, like you don't. Your fear doesn't get to dictate science. Your excitement doesn't. And that's the mistake that this doctor made, who made this documentary, who, by the way, you distrustful cynics who think that she's telling the truth, she's doing this because her book's coming out and she's trying to sell her fucking books. So do a little bit of research before you put someone on a pedestal. But like, this person got so excited about her findings, and then they turned out not to be what she thought it was going to be. So she falsified them. And guess what happened? She got caught and she had to pull them all out because science doesn't lie. Like, it's just as simple as that. So get
it over doesn't fucking lie.
That's what I say to all these people walking around carrying their fucking guns and protest. Grow up. Grow up.
Like, right. Grow the fuck up. Like, why do you have to shoot people in Oklahoma? Because you can't fucking eat in the McDonald's.
Right.
Get a fucking life.
Or if you really think it's that much bullshit, go do some volunteer hours at a hospital that has a bunch of COVID patients without any protection and see how long you last.
They need if you're that brave and you don't, right. Yeah. I know.
These fucking people.
Oh my God. You motherfuckers said the same thing at the same time. You owe each other a Coke.
Why we're friends.
Listen, we get the public berates us every day, all day. So, I know. Like, I'm real done with these people. Like, real done with these people.
Mine didn't start until late today, but it's catching up.
So, do you guys want to talk about the gentleman that was mowed down by the two white guys, or do we even need to voice our stance on that?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think we should talk about it in the sense that I think we're all united.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Here's what I want to say about it. I saw something on Facebook today that really resonated with me, and it said, just remember, those two men weren't arrested because they saw the tape. They were arrested because we saw the tape.
Yes!
And that stuck with me.
Yes, girl, yes.
Because it happened 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I cannot fucking... Do you know... Let's be real. Let's just say, if I walked out and shot someone right today, right now, I just walked out my fucking door... Went out, saw someone, shot him. I would be arrested, period. Maybe. It doesn't matter.
It should be.
I mean, I feel like because I'm a woman, it would be like, I'm a woman. Do you have your period, miss? No, I don't, actually. Pow! Right in the fucking face of you, too, motherfucker! But I'm just saying, like...
You should say yes, because then you could use that as a mitigating circumstance.
But I'm just saying, like, I feel like I would be arrested no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter. Like
how does this happen in the year 2020 that you can shoot anybody and just not? Because what they always teach you is that, like, you can, like, I'll just speak on my own personal whatever. Like, any of the training I've gone through, like, any of the active shooter trainings and all that kind of stuff, which to this point have all been pretty, like, progressive, have said, like, because there's always some fucking idiot who asks the question, like, once you get the guy down, can you just shoot him? Like, no, bro, that's murder also. If you are in imminent danger, like, if you have the guy on the ground, the weapon's away from him, you're not in danger anymore. So it doesn't matter if he just killed a bunch of people. If you turn around and shoot that guy, you're going to go to jail. And now, and even if you were, but then it's up to the district attorney whether or not they prosecute based on how you plead. And so even in a situation where you feel like you're defending yourself, you're still going to go through those process because you have to prove that that's not what happened. And so I just don't see how in those, like, if you're telling me those circumstances and all the crazy, you know, crazy gun people that want to go defend their property and all that kind of shit, right, but you're still going to have to prove that your life was being threatened by this person. And this obviously is not that situation at all, but I'm just saying this, like, how do you just, you never go to jail. Nothing happens.
Can I just say that we really need to revisit this asinine bullshit of the citizen's arrest?
I did one once.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But what do we pay a police force for? And especially when you have Yahoo fucking rednecks whose tiny little dicks are somehow elongated by the possession of a gun. I do not want those dumb motherfuckers deciding when they should become auxiliary police officers and fucking shoot dead an innocent black man who's jogging just because he may fucking look like somebody who may or may not have committed a crime. I thought that it would be a police officer and a district attorney and a fucking judge who decides whether somebody committed a crime or not.
Until proven guilty?
Right. Not these fucking moron, redneck, Yahoo, stupid Trump-loving fucks who love their fucking, you know, permit to carry guns. And now because somebody fucking does something they don't like or looks like they don't like them or is a different color, boom, I'm going to perform a citizen's arrest on you because you look like somebody who may or may not have committed a fucking crime.
And that's not even a citizen's arrest at all. It's just murder what they did. And so this Yosemite Sam looking fool decides he's going to take it upon himself to murder somebody.
Right.
Who he thinks looked like someone who stole some stuff. That's not even...
Right.
Like, really?
No,
he stole some things?
Right.
And you think he deserves to die because of it?
My favorite is when they said he wasn't following simple commands. Well, who the fuck are you to issue commands?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because it was Georgia, they were fucking white, and a black guy didn't capitulate to them right away, that all of a sudden they fucking, in their warped racist minds, believe that, oh, okay, just like fucking George Zimmerman in Florida, believed that because this black person didn't kowtow, didn't submit to their requests, that automatically gives them the right to fucking end their lives. That's bullshit. That is bullshit.
What's
that?
The GoFundMe page for the guy and his son.
Oh,
because they were just trying to protect their neighborhood.
That's such
From what, a guy jogging? You gotta protect the neighborhood from a guy jogging?
I just want to say I love how Gene says jogging. Jogging.
I just want to say I think it's funny when Aaron makes fun of people's accents.
I know, right? He's like, mine is the fucking worst. I know.
You say happy Halloween.
I do. I say happy Halloween.
Do we have accents to you guys?
No. You guys sound like fucking normal people.
People from California have no accents.
We're normies.
Unless
we just
you're like from LA. And then you're like a total fucking
Indian.
I'm going to California. We're going to go swim in the pool. You know, like, and I'm like, okay, you guys got a fucking accent, but not.
I've never heard anyone from Southern California talk like that in my life.
That's what somebody from Indiana says that a California person talks like.
Okay, I get Aaron's reference.
Do you guys ever listen to Alt Nation on SX, like Sirius Radio?
No.
Okay, so Alt Nation, there is a DJ. His name is Justin Cade. He has the most fucking Valley, California accent I've ever heard. He's like, so you guys just come on and listen to the fucking music, man. Like, it's like totally Valley. I know it's not normal.
That's a stoner accent.
Can I just say, Stacy was frozen, but I thought she was legit drinking her drink for like the last night. I was like, God damn it, girl. God damn.
I was like, damn, she doesn't want to listen to us at all.
I was like, holy shit, I guess it's not that bad.
Candy.
I'm so upset. I ran out of wine.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. Oh no, where'd it go?
What's everyone obsessed with this week?
I'll be brief.
You don't have to be. That's not a rule around here.
I will not.
I already alluded to wine delivery. I am totally obsessed with that brand new phenomenon in my life. And I want to drink my remaining four bottles so I could order six more and get free delivery.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that. Wine delivery to your door obsessed. And then the second thing I want to mention, and where is Stacy? Where did she go?
Went down. She'll come back.
All right. Well, I'm obsessed with the care package that she and her mother sent me. Stacy and her mom have got it going on because in this care package, I got a really sweet face mask that has like a filter on it. So it's like, it's not even your run of the mill N95. It's a fucking N95 with a filter on it. And then I got Andrew Cuomo religious candle, which it is so apropos for what I am feeling for Andrew Cuomo right now. And then lastly, Stacy's mom, who I learned listens to the podcast, needle pointed this, which says, "Behold the field in which I grow my fox. Lay thine eyes upon it, and thou shalt see that it is barren." Mrs. Stacy's mom, thank you. You definitely got it going on.
That's amazing.
Fucking amazing. I love
Aaron,
it.
Aaron, go ahead.
All right. So aside from, okay, first of all, I gotta echo Jean. I have a lovely Princess Leia candle from Stacy.
Yes.
And Stacy's mom fucking did a baby Yoda towel for me.
What?
Is amazing. I fucking love it. I literally fell in love with it. I had no idea that your mom could needlepoint.
Super mom. Has
my mom's getting real fancy.
I was just quarantine
and man. On retirement, really.
Stacy's mom has got it going on. I don't know the rest of the words, but
I can't wait to karaoke with you guys when you come out here.
Right? So also, I have to say what I'm obsessed with is the movie, The Half of It.
I am fucking
obsessed. I love it. I think it is amazing. I think it is so well done. It's so well acted. It's so, so great. The director also directed Saving Face, which I love. I think it is a wonderful movie, not just for LGBTQ people, but also for just like people in any walk of life, where they're anything questioning religion, questioning their family, if questioning just themselves. I think one of the best things. Okay, so I'm gonna take a step back. One of the best things that I loved about Frozen was that Elsa. It was never about who she was going to fall in love with. It was always about her falling in love with herself. And I think that that is so amazing for any person in this world that has issues with self-esteem. And today in particular, I'm really struggling with my self-esteem and things like that. But like, I really 100% feel like Frozen really shone a light on the idea of being okay with who you are, no matter who you are. And I think that was amazing, you know, and this movie, the half of it really did do that. It was like, you can be who you are and find people who love you for who you are, no matter what. Right. And, I don't want to be like super like corny, but I feel like you guys in particular, like the podcast girls, like you guys have really made me feel like it's okay to be who I am. And like, obviously I get tipsy and I get loud and I get obnoxious but you guys also love me. But like, there are a lot of people in my life that didn't like that or that saw me for who I was and decided that I wasn't worth it. And that was hard for me to deal with. And I love you guys so much, but like, part of this movie is that it was like really exciting to see this young girl that didn't really give a fuck what people thought about her and just was like, you know what? I'm going to be who I am. And these people are going to like me for that. And to see the young relationships that she has grow into so much more and so much deeper. Also fucking Aster Flores. Let's be real.
Oh my God. So fucking hot. Aaron, I'm so glad you told me that she's not really a high school student, right? Man, she's because she's fucking hot. And yeah. I felt like an old perv.
So, Alexis Lemire, she is, oh my God, she's so fucking beautiful.
But she's well above the age of consent. Let's just put that out there.
Well, okay. Above it. Right. I love her. And also, right. like, the character that she portrays is very much older than a high school student, which I really like as well. Like, I think it's important for any age to watch this, but I think it's really good for a kid to watch it. Like, it's okay to be different, to be unique, to be just like a force to be reckoned with. And I'm going to be honest, I've watched it like maybe 4 or 5 times, and I'm really, really, really in love with the idea that romantic love is not always the be all end all. It's the idea of loving yourself and being able to come to terms with who you are as a human being and who you are as a person that really trumps everything else. I don't want to say the word Trump because I just
ruined. Stop saying it.
Goddamn, what's another word for Trump?
Triumphs.
Triumphs.
It triumphs over it.
Yes.
And by the way, self-romantic love isn't a bad thing. I've been single for a while.
I agree with G.
Yes, as we can see by the ads that are popping up on your Facebook.
Oh my God, you guys, my Facebook.
Amazing. I never got shit like
I'm
that.
I'm not obsessed with them, but I feel like I should just explain a couple of the things that have popped up on my Facebook today. They're all Wish ads. So it's just an ad for Wish, but the products that come up, I don't feel like are really like tailored for me. Like how Jean was getting ball washed. Okay. Just today, all in the same like ad, I received pictures of the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. Some kind of contraption that holds your bird. Some sort of weird plastic thing you put over kitten paws, underwear with a crotch hole and a dildo attached to them, some sort of weird thing you men put inside their underwear to make it look like they have like moose knuckles. I don't know. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So weird. Okay. Things I am obsessed with. So I won't go into detail, but I binged Sex Education on Netflix, and so everybody should watch it. It's so good.
I haven't seen the new season.
And Never Have I Ever. That's Mindy Kaling's new show. It's phenomenal. Everybody should watch it. Okay, so the thing I'm super obsessed with, okay? I have been reading a lot lately because I've noticed if I'm, like, watching TV or I'm doing something, like, and I'm feeling anxious, my mind tends to wander, but if I'm reading, it can't do that, you know? So I was looking through, like, my books app just to see, like, what have I bought that I didn't read yet? And after I read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, I realized I bought a couple more of her books. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I read, oh my gosh, which one did I read? I read, One True Loves.
What is happening?
I don't know. I was echoing. It's the Twilight Zone.
Did Jean unplug us or something?
She did, I think. What a... See you next Tuesday.
Jeannie copes.
I know. What the heck? I had something great.
I just had to... I had some chicken cutlet stuck in my crown from earlier, and I had to get it out.
You unplugged us, so we were coming through the speaker, so we were echoing.
You got it.
Listen, sorry. Everyone, this is a very professional podcast.
A-plus professional, but I think it's A++.
Okay, so I read One True Loves. So good. Guys, if they don't make this book into a movie, it wasn't as good as Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, because, like, that movie.
I read everything she wrote after that, and it just was never as good as Seven Husbands.
Okay, did you read this one, though? Did you read One True Loves?
Yeah.
Okay, it's so good, you guys. It's about this girl. She, like, falls in love with this boy when she's, like, 17. They fall in love and get married, and then he dies in a helicopter crash. Or he goes missing in a helicopter crash. And then, like, she moves on, she gets engaged, whatever, and he turns back up. And it is, like, so, it's so good. I was, like, I'm very careful to read, like, try and read a little bit of a synopsis right now because I just am not in a good space to read, like, I don't want to read anything where a parent dies right now. So I'm, like, trying
don't
or like
read the road home.
I know, that's why I haven't yet.
Don't even look at it.
I know, that's I'm keeping it far, far away. For now, I'll get there. But I read, okay, so in the, she like writes a, and I'm not giving away any of the plot points. This is like what's in the description. Like, I'm not give, it's not a shocker when this happens. But she writes in this letter, and like there was one line in it that I was just like, dude, this is deep. Like, maybe this will be me one day. It says, but I do think I can put the pain down. I think I can leave it on the ground and walk away, only coming back to visit every once in a while, no longer carrying it around with me. And I was like, huh, that's an interesting way to think about grief. Mm. Not to bring everybody down or whatever, because I've had a lot of time to think about being sad and grief during quarantine. But it's a, I was like, huh, yeah. Like, at some point, it gets to a point where it's too much to carry around all the time. I don't think I'm quite there yet, but I was like, that's an interesting concept.
No, I agree with you, because it's like, it really is interesting how grief can either A, stay with you forever, or you can put it in a spot where you revisit it, you know?
You and there was one other line in there that I was like, oh, like it just got to me. And she said, basically about how people are always saying, like, you know, may his memory be a blessing. And then you finally realize that's what it is. You're happier to have known him than you were sad to have lost him. And I was like, huh.
That's real deep.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was just an interesting where I could, like, kind of tiptoe around the topic of grief without, like, diving right in. So
I heard
it was good. It was good. I really like this book, and I want it to be a movie.
I heard something really interesting about, like, grief and pain and, like, trauma and stuff. And the person who was describing it said it's like being in a really small room, and then, like, your pain is this, like, button on the wall. And at first, there's a huge ball in the room, so the ball is constantly butting up against the button. It's constantly pushing it, constantly pushing it. And after time, that ball shrinks, but it's stuck in the room. So it doesn't go away completely. Every once in a while, that ball is still going to hit that button, and it will feel the same way it did when it was constantly pushing on it. It just happens less frequently.
Yeah.
That is so true, because I've always said, like, I've had a lot of people tell me, like, oh, it gets so much easier once you lose someone, X, Y, Z, whatever. And I literally never feel like it gets, quote unquote, easier.
It's just less frequent.
Yes, less frequent and less raw. Like, yeah. It's like, you know, you scrape your knee, it hurts, but you scrape it in the same place a year later, it still hurts, but it's just not as painful. And that's how I feel like the loss of someone becomes, that someone's super important to you. It's not that it's not painful. It's always painful. Always. It always hurts. Mm-hmm. It always is the worst. It's the worst pain ever. Mm-hmm. But it's the idea that, like, it's just less raw. Like, you take that Band-Aid off, and it's like, oh, it's kind of healed, but it's still there. That scar will always be there. And it sucks, but it does,
but I was okay with it. And I really think, like, this book was really good. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm just in a good place for this book right now, whatever, but, like, 10 out of 10 would recommend.
I often wonder what happened to her, because she has another book, too, and I can't remember the name of it, but the husband dies.
Yeah,
and the whole, they were only married for 6 weeks and only known each other for like 2 months, and it's like her struggle of a bunch of people being like, why are you so upset, you only knew them for 2 months? And they're like, she goes, but I loved him enough to marry him, like I was in love with him,
right?
So why is your pain any, like, I can't just get over it. So it's kind of this struggle of, like, society, at what point do we take grief, what's our threshold for, okay, you're important enough to this person that will take your loss seriously.
Right.
I think that's really important with her as an author, is that she's able to capture these feelings that, like, not everybody has had before, but everybody kind of understands what it might mean. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, like, especially in, like, the Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, it's like, no one really understands what it may be like to fall in love with someone of the same sex, but, like, you kind of understand what it would feel like to lose someone. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like that same, like, that idea that, like, not everything is obviously not everything is the same, but, like, not everything is obviously different. And that may sound really like drunk, well, but maybe.
I think there it does sound drunk, but I get what you're saying. Like, I don't have to be gay to be able to read Seven Husbands of Evan Hugo and yeah, that's the most important relationship in there. Right. Like, I read that. I've never been engaged, and I read this book and could totally, like, all right, I get it, you know?
We don't have to be gay to understand that that was her lifelong love and what it means to lose that. Like, that doesn't matter who it is.
Love is love, and, like, when you are able to, like bestow that upon people when they're reading it and you're able to say like, this is love and they like resonate with that. It doesn't matter who the person that they're reading about is loving. It is that love that they feel.
Yeah. And that is... I feel bad, Erin. I love you. And I am just not ready to read your book yet.
Oh my God. First of all, Stacey, please I'm do not. That.
You know, long because you're gonna I write feel it.
Like it was funny. I know.
Like I don't was crying writing it, so please do not read it.
It's funny too because one night, like when this whole thing first started, I had I'm in a group chat with these girls that I dance with, and somebody had said they were gonna watch the movie Onward, and I was like, yeah, me too. I think I'm gonna watch it tonight. And my friend Crystal texted me, like side texted me, and was like, hey, don't watch it. And I was like, oh, okay. And like her husband's dad passed away like 4 years ago. And she was like, he could barely watch it without crying. So like, I don't think that you are probably ready to watch this movie yet. And I was like, yeah, good call.
Yeah. Well, don't watch
lucky
that.
For you. I have been subjected to Onward about 58 times. So
it's so good. Is it not one of the best movies though? No, it is so fucking
at
good.
At this point, I hate it. I liked it when it came out. I'm sorry.
It's better than I thought it would be.
Toddlers ruin movies.
Yeah. I love it. I love everything about it. And I get why you... Oh, my God! What the fuck? I swear to God, I hate the people that are...
A quality podcast around here, people. Lincoln walks around going, barley, barley, barley. Barley, barley, barley. Yeah, Taylor Jenkins Reid is unbelievably talented, and I don't think she gets enough credit for being a novelist and not just like a writer of love stories, because she, and not that there, obviously there's nothing wrong with being a writer of love stories, but society looks down upon romance writers as opposed to, oh, you're not a real writer, you write romance novels. Well,
and only that's if interesting... you write the same fucking book over and over.
Damn, Charles, fire.
Right, man. You take the same the spot thing that and just put spot, different people. Characters' oh, man. Names.
We rubbed the spot.
Do not get me stalled.
Here's the thing I think is really interesting, and that I have a different view on her as an author now from reading this other book, is that this is a movie, or this is a book that, like, I could see being a movie. I'm sure it's going to get turned into a movie, because based on all the notes on her website, I feel like all of her books are getting turned into movies or TV shows. But it's so interesting that you can, it pits this, like, love triangle, right? Like, her current fiance, her husband she thought was dead. But really, the biggest relationship in that story is the one she has with herself. And,
they
like,
all
that...
Are.
I
they
know
in her
it's
books.
So good, because it's like, yeah, it's not so much about who do you love the most. She loves them both differently, and obviously a ton that she'd want to marry both of them. But like, how does she love herself more? Like how she used to be, or the person that she is now? And it's like growth, and that being okay, and how growing out of relationships is okay too. And
all of her books focus way more on the relationship the character has with themselves and self-realization and like
self-acceptance. And like,
she doesn't get enough credit, I don't think, for
she's
her work.
Phenomenal.
But she's going to be filthy fucking rich, because everything she writes is being turned into money. Stacey, feel like what are you obsessed with?
Founder.
Right? God, please, Reese, just keep her. Just tuck Taylor Jenkins Reid away in a room and make her write all of your things. And
buy all
them.
The books.
Yeah. Sorry, Stace.
That's okay. So I'm glad you guys got your quarantine gifts. I didn't want you guys, Jax and Stacey, to feel left out. I made you guys prayer candles, too. Out. I just haven't mailed them yet. So, because
okay,
I want to put
Kai's
some other
mail hostage here too until I get my candles.
I just had other stuff to put in there, and so I've been like selling.
We didn't get that other stuff though.
You guys, but you guys got the N95 masks. Don't wear those in public, because Kai got like confronted. by somebody. They're like so hard to find. They're like $100 on eBay for one. And I didn't realize that. So be careful when you wear them in public.
I won't tell anybody.
Anything goes there.
That's true.
I'm going to be like, where'd you get that? I pulled it off a dead guy.
Yeah, just carry around a gun and everyone will be like, oh, you're allowed to wear one.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm obsessed with is the Family Olympics that we did. And I know that's what I said I was obsessed with last week, too. But it was so much fun. It was so, and I know I took really shitty pictures because we were wrapped up in it. And I couldn't take pictures because I was participating, too. And so I was like, oh, shit.
Awesome.
So we did stuff like, quarantine games where you had to wash your hands. We set a timer. You have to wash your hands really fast. Put on gloves wet, like rubber gloves while your hands are wet, and then put a mask on, and we timed, and whoever could do it fastest, like, won because they survived. Stuff like that. It was super fun. My kids were really into it, and everybody was asking me. We did it Friday, Saturday, Sunday at 5 o'clock, and they were asking me, what time is it? Is it time yet? Can we do the little bit? Can we just start early? We can start early. Aww. Nobody cared. Like, it was good. Yeah. So I'm definitely obsessed with that. I kind of want to, like, do it every year, even if we're not stuck in quarantine.
You should.
It looked like so much fun.
Mm-hmm. It was good. Like, I had a hard time coming up with, because we did 7 events per night. So coming up with 21 little things to do was, like, I was struggling. So some of them were kind of dumb. And I felt like my family was kind of like, really? Where did you come up with this? Like, we did, you have to find your best friend in your phone and FaceTime them, and whoever's best friend answered, like, you win for the best friend award. I know. Jax, I texted her. I'm like, you don't have to call me back. It's okay. I'll explain later.
I was trying to feed the tiny terror, and he throws it's a whole thing.
But to be fair, Kai FaceTimed his mom. I was like, okay, that's your best friend.
That you knew
she would answer.
Later.
But it was really good. We had silly games and it was a good time.
That was awesome. Good for you.
I'm obsessed with number one. Gene, congratulations on being shortlisted for the Golden Cranberry Society.
Yay!
Ashford Place was shortlisted. The results came out today. If you haven't read the Ashford Place, it's been shortlisted for Romantic Blend. It's a great book. This is well-deserved. Well deserved.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We'll all be pulling for you. So,
yay! Thank you, ladies.
Number one, what I'm obsessed with. Number two, happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Yeah.
To mom, and I wanted to remind you, you're doing better than you think you are. Yes, you deserve a break. You're not fucking up your kids nearly as much as you think you are. They're gonna fuck up their own lives. And four, parenting in quarantine is hard. It's hard. So cut yourself a little slack. I see so many moms on Facebook like losing their minds and one, thinking they're not doing enough. Two, thinking they're doing too much. Three, exhausted from being around their kids all day. Then feeling guilty for feeling exhausted for being around their kids all day. Feeling guilty for being fed up with their kids who are around them all day. Like, I don't see dads posting anything about that. So cut yourself a break. Like, seriously, cut yourself a break. And I hope your significant others got you things because the schools aren't sending anything home for you. So
you're not meant to be with somebody 24/7.
Nope.
No,
like,
we're
and
not
to
designed
do it,
that way.
To do it with some kids, I mean, it's rough.
So, happy Mother's Day to all the moms, and you really are doing way better than you think you're doing.
Yeah.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
And just think everything Mother's you're putting Day. Them through, chalk it up to you're teaching them resilience, because the world is not a nice place, and we don't need any more fucking crybabies out there.
Word.
Word. How's everyone's drinks?
Excellent.
Not worth $22.
Mine was $7.50 and it was delish.
I love that delish. Jean just discovered wine delivery. Like, I can't wait for her to come to California this summer, and she's going to join all of the wine clubs. And she's going to be like, you guys, why do I have 47 bottles of wine at my house? We're going to be like, I don't know.
Why not?
That's called a good stock.
Every time we take Dempsey wine tasting, she can track her progress by her debit card because she starts buying more and more expensive bottles of wine. And she gets more and more drunk.
That's true. I know. I remember the last time I was like, "Who's that all belong to over there?"
That's all yours, girl. That's all yours.
Oh. I'm gonna need help carrying it to my car.
Great taste.
That's it for us this week, guys. Hey, we don't mind getting messages if there's topics you want us to cover. We like, it's always kind of a mad dash to figure out what to talk about.
Bring it on, so, folks.
If there's something you want us, I mean, look at all the fucking research I did for you. You're welcome.
For more questions.
Jackie loves research. She should have been a scientist.
I do like research.
You do.
Nerd.
I do like research. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind doing it for this, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have a good weekend, everyone. Bye.
Happy Mother's Day.
I love you all. Bye.